Thank you so much for the services so far. I do feel like the Holy Spirit has joined us here today and condescended to our low estate to enable us to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. I appreciate Brother Scott Manville's words and prayer, and Brother Todd and the children's service is always meaningful. Megan and Sherry, that was just so beautiful, and Andy leading us in the song that Kathy and Andy did. What a blessing. And Rosemary's challenged and presentation for the seniors that we're recognizing. It's worth it. I realize my time is cut a little shorter, but we can work with that. I'll try to get out of here about the right time if the Lord will let me, but I can finish what I want to try to say tonight anyway. But what I want to say that for is everything we've done so far to me has been really worth it. I appreciate the church's insight and affections for the Lord and for the youth and for just the presence of being here together to worship Him. What I got to say today, and I feel like I just got to, but I want to also, is three just simple words. Christ is all. Christ is all. And I remember thinking this week as I approached trying to study for this message that even though I realize it's graduate time and what a blessing that is to be a part of these young women's church affiliation, walking aside along them with Jesus Christ, is what a blessing that is and should be. But I remember what I want to try to say, not only to Valerie and to Priya, but to all of us. Because I want to use some scripture when you're talking about Christ is all, and I'm going to Colossians chapter 3, just for your information. But I wanted to say, he talks about that new creature, that new life. And so it's kind of newness to all of us. And I know you ladies have embarked on a new venture in your life. But what the correlation is to me, you know, when I was about 16 years old, this message was relevant to me because God used it. Now the preacher can't do this. Preacher cannot do this, but the Holy Spirit can. He can take a word of God and put it on your heart, and he can do something. He can grow your faith. He can comfort you or bring you peace. Sometimes he'll convict you, but you can learn what you need to know, and you know how to negotiate with God through his word because we have Christ, and that's all we need, and Christ is all. But when I was about 16, a preacher down at Upper Black Creek Primitive Baptist Church preached that same text, Christ is all, Colossians 3:11. I don't remember what the guy said. I don't. All I remember is that Christ is all. And I do remember this 16-year-old boy come down that aisle in front of those people, scared to death. And the only thing I could say is Christ is all. And I'll never have forgot that day. Now, I don't know whether that's when you get saved or not. I don't know. But I can tell you what, it was a realization to me that Christ is all. And I want to say this to you, that you'll never know that Christ is all till Christ is all you got. You hear me? The problem we have as believers today, we got too much. Christ seems to be just an add-on. We'll take a little bit of him if we can, but Christ is all. He's either all or he's nothing. Now, here's my deal. And I say this to Priya and Valerie and to all of us. That was a long time ago in my life. And here's what is such a paradox. I have sinned a lot since then. I have committed some horrific sin in my life. I want to be honest with you. So I have to be honest with God. But I want you to know this, as Christ has been all. Still is. And just like the manna that he provided for his children in the wilderness, they were disobedient. But every day he gave them something. Every day he gave them manna. He gave them something from heaven. And he put it so close to them that they couldn't miss it. And that's all they needed. They might complain about it, but that's all they needed. But they got it themselves. They gathered it up. And it was sufficient from them day. They couldn't store it. So I want to say today that Christ is all. But it makes no difference what I say. What makes a difference is what God says. You hear me? I want you to turn with me to Colossians chapter 3, and let's look at these verses just for a moment. Colossians 3, and in verse 10, I want to read verse 10 and 11, but the apostle here is talking to the church, and he's dealing with how you live your life. He's dealing with problems, dealing with inadequacies, failures. But he's also dealing with a wonderful transaction that happened by God's grace. When you were given your eternal life and given the Holy Spirit of God, he says in here, and have put on the new man in verse 10, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Now, you'll never graduate from God. You'll never graduate from his Bible. You won't. It is a learning, it is an experience of God's grace. But what happens, what you do get not to know is that is all. The Word of God is truth, and the truth will make you free. It does hurt you sometimes, but it's true. And then in verse 11 it says, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Christ is all. That's what we want to say. Now, it's amazing as we look at the context here, and I wanted to look at just as a subjective sort of a statement, Christ is all. Because if you look in the context, also you see what the apostle, he's naming these classes of people. He's dealing with racial differences, religious differences. He says Greek nor Jew, there's neither the difference, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. What grace does and what Christ does, and because he is all, we're all together. We're all the same in that way. Now, he does not mean by this that races are just done away with, there's no distinction. No, our traditions are no good. Doesn't mean that. Well, what he's saying is, in our difference, see, when God saves us, he doesn't change our personalities. He does not. But what happens is, he brings us to the realization that as far as the cross goes, we're all on level ground. God, these Scythians and Greeks and Jews, they would never be together. They had nothing to do with each other. But what Christ does is bring the all in that. And so what I want to say is subjectively, Christ is all. And I want you to remember this wherever you go, because you're going to need it. Number one is, Christ is actually all. Actually all. That word actually means real. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is a real person? I mean, I'm serious. That is something you and I need to look at. Is Jesus real to you? That is probably one of the greatest theological questions you can ask yourself. Is Jesus real to me? Because if Jesus is real to you, it will have an effect on how you live your life. Now, actually, we know he's real. We know that he had flesh. John 1 verse 14 says that the Word became flesh. We know that the birth of Christ, we celebrate as Christmas, as a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes in Bethlehem. And we know that Thomas, who doubted him, we know that Jesus is a real person. And I'm not talking about some poster boy. I'm not talking about some religious icon. I'm talking about a real person, because when Thomas saw the body of Jesus and doubted that he'd been resurrected, did not you remember that he said, Lord, I won't believe. And Jesus said, well, you just touch my hand. You just look at my scars. Look at my side. And Thomas never had to do that. What he said was, my Lord and my God. See, Jesus is real. When Jesus becomes real, then he becomes all. He becomes all. He's actually all. He is. I heard a story the other day, and I read it again the other day. A man said that this person, let me say this before I get to that. The thief on the cross, What an amazing account. And God puts in his word, this man who curses Jesus and cursing along with the other unrepentant one, this man ends up in heaven. And he's never been baptized. He never has been on a mission trip. He's never been a member of a church. He never has. And so the story I read was that this man's up in heaven, and the head angel, the angels come and said, man, what are you doing here? And the man said, I do not know. I have no idea. And so the angel said, you mean you're here and you don't even know why you're here? He said, I really don't. Well, I never heard anything like that. What do you mean? So they called the region angel, come down and say, look here, this man's here. And he don't even know why he's here. And the man's in heaven. And so the guy was examined. The man said, look, do you know anything about justification by faith? He said, I never heard of it in my life. He said, well, are you one of the elect? I don't know what you're talking about. He says, well, now you're telling me you're in heaven and you're here and you don't know you don't know what you're doing here. To which the man said, the man on the middle cross said I could come. You understand that? Christ is all. He's actually all. He is actually all. Jesus is real. And we need to treat him like he's real. We need to respond to his grace like he's real. Isaiah 45, 22 says, look unto me and be saved, all ye ends of the earth. That's what Jesus is about. He's about faith. He's about seeing that person that took our place on the cross of Calvary. That he's actually a Savior. That he is all. He is not a partner either. Jesus is not a partner in our salvation. He's not going to share his glory. Jesus brings you to God just like he brought this little 16-year-old sinful boy down by the church, but he brought me there, but he keeps me there. And when I sin, I go to him because he is my intercessor. And I confess my sin, and he forgives me of my sin. And man, it feels so good. Because Jesus is actually all. Have you ever felt the forgiveness of God in your heart and knew that it's actual, real, factual? Are you just walking around thinking that you're, well, you might be. No, Jesus needs to be all, real. Truth. He's actually all. Secondly, he's all in all. Look at 1 Corinthians 15. All in all. Verse 24. Then cometh the end when he shall be him shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he hath put all things under his feet, but when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. That is, he died, you know, he died in the flesh for our sins. But look at verse 28. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, the apostle uses all lots here, doesn't he? Then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. All things, God all in all, Christ is all. I want to ask you something. If everything is taken away from you and you lose everything, can you have peace? That will determine how much of Jesus, how much all in all we really embrace Him as. Why? Because everything is God's. The education and the careers that Valerie and Priya will pursue. The husbands that God will bring into their lives. And maybe even the little children that will be born from their womb. That all that's God's. It's God's. The job you have is God's. The people around your life, they're God's. It's all God's. In Him we live and move and have our being. See, it makes it a lot to give these things up when we understand it's not ours anyway, it's God's. Our money is God's. Those cattle are God's. The work that you do. See, we need to understand that everything is God's in that way. And so what is it's such a liberating understanding that we can face, because we need to know Christ is all. Because sometimes we feel pretty inadequate. I know I do. I imagine you do too. I don't know about you, but I feel like such a failure sometimes, and I realize I am in so many ways. I realize that my faith is not as strong as it ought to be. So what are you going to do about it? Randy can't do nothing about it. Jesus can't. See, the thing about Jesus, not only he is to be all to us, he's all to God. Because in his Son is who God is pleased. He's the only man that pleases God. Not you and me, but Christ. And that's why we are presented and made accepted in him and blameless before him in love, because of who he is and how God identifies us with him. We are in him all in all. What a joy. I sit with a truck in the woods one day a few years ago with a man in Long County, Georgia. This man was burdened. This man was struggling. He said, Randy, he said, I've had it all. He says, I've had a yacht. I had a Learjet. I had money. He said, I lost it all. He said, but I looked back and I said, it's nothing. He said, the only one that can help me is God. He's all, isn't he? He said, you got that right. The Apostle Paul in Philippians 3, he's a man that had it all. He was educated. I mean, he had everything. He says, I give it all. I count it all as dung for the knowledge of Christ, because he's all. He's all that matters. That ought to be our motto in our life. Christ is all. And no, it doesn't mean that we're some sort of religious freak or Jesus freak or religious fanatic or nut. What it means is that we know deep in our heart that Christ is all. We have our security in that, our identity in that. It's not about us adding on something, about having to do this, that, and the other. It is just freely serving Him and blessing Him. It also doesn't mean that Christ does all, though He does all that needs to be done. It doesn't mean that we sit down, though, and says, well, I'm going to just let Jesus do it. Apostle Paul says, it's by the grace of God I am what I am. He says, yet he passed that grace more abundantly to me than they all. Yet I worked harder. That's what understanding Jesus is about, being real. It's you work harder because you know it's all his and for him and to him and through him. Look at Psalm 73. I want you to take this home with you, and you can look at it sometime in your better moments and see how you do. Psalm 73. There's only two verses, but it would help us. You don't have to deal with it personally, out loud, I mean. Do it personally by yourself. Psalm 73, verse 25 and 26. If you will, I want you to take these two verses and review them on your own and how you stack up with God's grace in your life. Verse 25, whom have I in heaven but thee? Question. And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. Is there? My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Now that's a God that is all. And then lastly, I wanted to say before we go, not only Christ is all, he's actually all, he's all in all, he meets all our needs. He does. All of them. Now the devil will try to confuse us about what those needs are. You remember Jesus, the real Jesus, went to be tempted in the wilderness by the devil after he had fasted. And what did Satan do? He started talking about what he needed. If you're hungry, you need to make this stone into bread. I mean, all these things, all what Jesus did, all he needed was God's word. So I don't know, Valerie and Priya, all that you're going to have to deal with in life, but I know it's going to be a lot, but I know God will give you all you need. He will. And you'll find that right in his word, because the word of God is not just academic. It is in your heart. It is life. It is manna. It is the bread of life. And it is a renewable resource that keeps on giving. That's all we need. The problem is, though, we need to know that we need. Seeing the need of God takes the Holy Spirit. See, a lot of people, when Christ is all, he's not all to everybody. Somebody told me the other day that somebody said on the internet, you might have seen it, I don't do Facebook, but he said, some of the people put out there, you people that are praying for rain, stop it. Isn't that amazing? People would have the audacity to say that. Christ is not all to everybody. I mean, even the manna that is a figure of Christ, the Bible says in Numbers that the mixed multitude didn't even want it. It didn't have anything to do with it. They hated it. But if you're here this morning and you see that you need Jesus, that Christ is your need and you need him, it is the very reason that Jesus came not to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. Do you see your neediness? Don't be ashamed of it. Go to Jesus with it, because he is all. And he'll supply all your needs. Forever. You know, he supplied, God did, in the children of Israel's trek across the wilderness, everything they needed. He fed them with that manna until they got over into Canaan land. We might not know where it comes from, but it's going to be there every day. Christ is all in our relationships, in our lives together. You know, we have a tendency to wonder if we're good enough, if we're strong enough, if we can be enough. Then that is just humanism. What we need to understand is Christ is all. He is all. He can handle it all. He is all. And we have him. He has dealt with our sins, all of them. And then when you see the implications of that, what I want you to do is leave here feeling good about God being all. Because he does say that he that is spared not his own son, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? That's everything we need. Thank God he doesn't give us everything we want, but he knows what we need. And he's a good God. And Christ is all. What a blessing. See some of you in your faith. What you're saying is Christ is all. I met Sister Ruth here in the hall. And I said, Ruth, Sister Ruth, how are you? She said, I'm hurting all over. I'm going to the doctor twice a week. You see her sitting there. What she's saying in life, Christ is all. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you, Priya and Valerie particularly, and your precious young lives. The Apostle Paul said, and I say to you, I'm confident of this very thing, Philippians 1:6, that he that has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. What a blessing. All along the journey of life, may the Lord keep us tethered to the cross of knowing that Christ is all. Let's have a prayer. Lord, we thank you so much for the fullness of our salvation in Christ Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for the completeness and how you, Lord, have dealt with our sins and how you've brought us through trials and how you will bring us through them, how you never leave us nor forsake us, and how you always provide for us. Lord, forgive us when we ever have doubts and fears, and we do, but Lord, they don't go that deep and take root in our lives. Hopefully they are something we can shake off by your grace. Lord, thank you for being sufficient. And even when we are disobedient, Lord, you always are there providing for our needs. So many times, Lord, we neglect to see them though, and it's a wonder you'd have anything to do with us very long at the time, but your faithfulness and steadfastness is evident, Lord, in our lives. As we bow before you and dismiss, I do pray, Lord, that you would bless us to see this day as a new commencement of our very lives. Not only for Priya and Valerie and the life that's before them, Lord, would you bless them and keep them close to you? Would you help us all, Lord, to follow you, because this world is an evil place and we have a tendency, Lord, to go in the wrong direction. And we have to be reminded that you're all. And that, Lord, when we do fall, you're still our all. And we come to you, Lord, with broken hearts, with broken ways, coming, Lord, to a Savior that mends all, that does all, that strengthens all, and that blesses us all with an enduring, unconditional love. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for being all. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.